There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Final hour of the show and a lot to get through. And in fact, in this final hour, we will be building up to pole qualifying for the Monaco Grand Prix. That's live tomorrow. As I said, qualifying is underway as we speak at the moment. And it is a Grand Prix that needs little introduction.
Nestled on the coast of the French Riviera lies the Principality of Monaco, the world's second smallest country behind Vatican City. Monte Carlo oozes wealth, with the harbour crammed full of yachts and the city home to high-end casinos, boutique shops and high-rise apartments, as well as Formula One's most famous race. Bumpy, narrow and relentless, the Monte Carlo circuit is the acid test of a driver's skill and concentration. Teams run their highest downforce levels to maximise grip on the shortest lap of the season. As cars have evolved over the years, the circuit itself has remained virtually unchanged, featuring some of the sport's most recognisable locations, such as the iconic tunnel and the famous hairpin, the slowest and one of the most famous corners on the calendar. Taken at just 50 kilometres an hour, it has often been the scene of gridlock, with the barriers in Monaco edging ever closer as drivers tire during the course of a race and always ready to punish even the smallest mistake.
There goes Prof! My goodness!
Riccardo Patrese won in 1982 after five other cars dropped out of the lead within two laps of the finish. And Olivier Panis holds the record for winning from the lowest grid slot, having triumphed after starting 14th in 1996. The same race featured the lowest number of cars running at the flag, just four. But that was an exception, and grid position is still more important here than anywhere else, with much slower cars able to hold off faster ones simply by hogging the middle of the road. That means qualifying and strategy are key, though it is sometimes possible for brave drivers to force their way through at Turn 1, Saint-Devote, the hairpin, Portier and Mirabeau. Just two Monégasque drivers have raced in Formula One, Louis Chiron and Olivier Beretta, who finished eighth in 1994. But Nico Rosberg grew up here, which made his first victory on the streets of the Principality in 2013 even more emotional.
To win at home is it's very special.
He has since taken two more and goes in search of his fourth in a row in 2016. The only other drivers to have won three or more in a row are Graham Hill, Alan Prost and Ayrton Senna, who holds the record for the most wins in Monaco with six, including five in a row between 1989 and 1993. It is a spectacle like no other, and nothing matches its history. Monaco is one of the truly great weekends of the global sporting calendar, meaning a win in Monte Carlo is just cause for big celebrations.
Who will win at Monte Carlo? Well, we're about to find out who's going to make it onto a pole. Chris McCarty is having a look at the runners and riders for this year's Monaco Grand Prix. And I suppose one question is a question mark around Red Bull.
There is certainly a question mark around Red Bull. Max Verstappen crashing into the wall in final practice. The news is, well, good and bad. Let me start with the good news. He will qualify. He will be competing and partaking in qualifying. The bad news is, though, the Red Bull team have had to replace his gearbox. It does mean that he will be given a 5-grid penalty tomorrow. So even if he starts, or even if he goes on to win pole, he will start down in 5th place tomorrow, or 6th place as the case may be. Daniel Ricciardo, he has been the standout performer this weekend thus far in the other Red Bull. Fastest in practice two, and in the final practice 2 or so hours ago. So look out for the Red Bulls for differing reasons. Ferrari as well, they've had a decent time of it thus far. And Lewis Hamilton, championship leader, he was 5th fastest in final practice, but of course the business, it begins now. This is where Lewis Hamilton gets locked in. That's where Mercedes do their stuff as well. So looking forward to it. It is underway. We're 9 minutes to go in first qualifying. It is Daniel Ricciardo out on top.
Robbie Greenfield's joined us as well. He of Sports Tonight. He's going to come on down for our Festival of Finals a little later on down here. We all know about the tradition. We all know about the history of the Monaco Grand Prix. But from a sort of driver's point of view, is it one of the circuits that they enjoy going to, and from a spectator's point of view, is it's not a passing circuit, is it?
No, I think it was described, Tom, as trying to race a bicycle around a living room, the Monaco Grand Prix. I think that was the famous phrase that was used. And it's a fiddly circuit. It's quirky. You'd never get a modern Grand Prix launching if Liberty Media have plans to launch new Grand Prix in new destinations. The tracks and the circuits will not look like the famous street race in Monaco. It's simply regarded as a relic, a little bit outdated, and for that reason, a quirky Grand Prix that's difficult to predict. That's why Mercedes, traditionally the fastest car in the last three or four seasons, has struggled at the Monaco Grand Prix, but it does give a chance to some of the other drivers in potentially weaker cars to come back into things. But I enjoy it. It's the scenery. It is the most prestigious Grand Prix, isn't it? It's part of the Triple Crown. You know, you look at what Fernando Alonso's trying to do, trying to become a driver to have won the Triple Crown. He's got the Indy 500 and the Le Mans 24 Hour that he's going for. He's already won the Monaco Grand Prix. So having that, I think, is fundamental. If you asked any Grand Prix driver, or any Formula One driver, I should say, which Grand Prix they'd like to win, they'd say Monaco.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because there's so much pressure on Liberty at the moment in terms of developing that calendar and taking races into different parts of the world, spreading the word of Formula One. And as you said, you know, everything sort of stacks up against Monaco in terms of spectator, in terms of drivability, etc., in terms of logistics of getting the teams in and out there as well. And yet you're never going to take it away from the Formula One calendar.
No, you can't. It's a bit like Wimbledon on the grass court. No one's going to introduce any more new grass tennis tournaments, but you would never get rid of Wimbledon. It's history, it's tradition. It represents such a powerful symbol for Formula One, the Monaco Grand Prix, so that there's no way. That's in no danger. And as much as they do want to expand and introduce new and exciting tracks, Monaco's not going anywhere.
We've got Robbie with us here all the way through till 6 o'clock this evening as we wrap up and get, of course, ready for the evening of finals, our festival of finals a little later on. First of those kicks off at 6 o'clock, Exeter against Saracens. We'll get some more insight on that one for you very shortly from a man who's been there, done that. Big AP will be joining us to give us his thoughts ahead of a festival of rugby a little later on, and cricket as well. Test match ongoing as we speak, but also a small matter of an IPL final to talk about a little later on as well. Do stay tuned to Dubai 103.8, listening to The Grill.
This is The Grill, in association with Barasti Superdome, bringing the football stadium to you this summer.
Yeah, game on, and some games to look forward to as well. Mark Archer, myself, Tom Urquhart, Chris McCarty, Robbie Greenfield with you, and special guests as well joining us ahead of our Festival of Finals, none more so than the Dual Code International, a man who has graced rugby league and rugby union pitches the world over, but has left his mark here on rugby here in the region through his eponymous academy and, of course, the coaching of the national team. AP Apollo Perinini joins us live here from our broadcast position. Good to have you, AP.
It's always good to be here and talk sports with the boys.
Nice to have you on board as well, especially with some big games to look forward to a little later on. Exeter against Surrey, 6 o'clock kickoff. Final game of what has been a fascinating Aviva Premiership this year. Or has it? Has it been a good Aviva Prem this year?
Look, it's been a very interesting Aviva Premiership. But look, there's quite a few, some strong teams up there in the top four. But I thought the two main teams, they really took it to the opposition. Well, the last two semi-finalists in these last two games, especially I thought Saracens could have won a lot more against Wasps, and also the Exeter, the way Exeter won against Newcastle. You know, they went out and they went strong. Tonight's going to be interesting. Saracens, you know, 3 years ago had the best defense, and I think they still have a really good defense. And when we put up a good defense against a really good, consistent sort of team that keeps the ball well, like Exeter do, it's going to be interesting tonight to see if Saracens can dismantle their the attack of Exeter.
Interesting clash of teams with quite different styles. Saracens, big spending, big names, big international players, lots of British and Irish Lions, lots of English internationals, some of the best players in the world in their positions, the Mario Atoges, the Owen Farrells, and sort of that bit more of a glamour club in some regards. Taking on what you'd call unfashionable Exeter, bit of old school, not a big ground in a part of the country that's not, you know, it's not part of North London. It's down there in Exeter, down in the West Country. It's a clash of style, of philosophy, of I think I was looking at a stat earlier, Exeter are the only club in the Viva Premiership that actually turn a proper profit, a proper P&L. They don't spend more than they have. And a lot of the other clubs have this sort of, I guess it's fair to say, the rich sugar daddies pumping money into clubs to keep them going. But Exeter's not like that. So it's a really interesting story here between two very differing sort of outfits.
I think two different cultures as well. I think there's a real family culture with the Exeter team. If you watch, I think Baxter has a, you know, they come out of nowhere. They're a group of nobodies, no names, and who actually just go out there and go to the trenches together. And they will look after each other, you know, in their game. And when they play together, I never see anybody sort of fall out of line. They all look after, they pat each other on the back. Whereas exactly what you said, Arch, is that you got Saracens, these are full of glamour there. There's a lot of glamour there, and there's a lot of a lot of experience there, and big game players. But I think the culture of Exeter has kept them strong for the last 3 years, and I think that's where the Baxter's done a really good job with building it.
But I suppose the thing with Saris is that they are, the consistency that they're showing at the moment, the top of the game, the consistency in Europe, the consistency getting to the top of the Aviva Prem. You know, changes have been put in place to Saracens in recent seasons, and they have worked. Is that the sort of formula that everyone is working towards now, the way that they're going about getting those results?
Yeah, I think Saracens got, the great thing they've got talent. They've got talent to burn right across the field, and then they go. I think if you look at the way they play, they play a very, very expensive game, and they will cut you up in pieces right across the field, you know. And then they've got powerful forwards, and I think Exeter are going to rely on their keeping possession, continuity, and basically just their just normal style of game where they're just playing to wear you down. I don't think you can wear Saracens down. They're a fit team, and if you see them last week, they kind of go, and then all of a sudden in the last 20 minutes they just up the ante, and they just blew away Wasps last week, and that's what Saracens can do, because they're a fit team, and I think that's going to be the difference.
Fascinating game, looking forward to it. 6 o'clock kickoff. We'll get your thoughts on the other games in just a few moments time. Got to ask you about your golf at the moment though, AP. How's the golf? How's the golf, AP? Is it all right?
The golf's good.
Yeah.
What's
all right. We're just going to go to golf, so I just wanted to get your thoughts on all things golf.
I love golf.
Happy with the swing at the moment? Happy with the way that hitting the ball?
Look, my driver's not my favourite, but my short game's not too bad.
He's got a touch around the greens, isn't he? Hey, that's
absolutely
what it's all about. We'll get more from AP in a moment, but Robbie Greenfield's joined us as well. And I just want to get Robbie's thoughts on two fascinating tournaments ongoing at the moment. The Fort Worth International over in the United States, the BMW PGA Championship. Good to see Rory on song, but my first question to you, why is Justin Rose over at Fort Worth? Why is he not at the BMW PGA?
That is a great question, to which I do not exactly know the answer to.
You'd think he'd go for Wentworth,
yeah,
wouldn't you?
I mean, the scheduling of these players gets mapped out months in advance, and it may just be that he is preferring to build up to the US Open, which obviously takes place in a couple of weeks' time, by basing himself in the US. Justin Rose, a former winner of the US Open back in 2013. That may just happen to be a course that he feels he can win on. He's actually on top of the leaderboard there at 10 under par over in Texas. So maybe he doesn't like the Wentworth course. A lot of the players, Ian Poulter being another one, have criticised the new layout. Ernie Els redesigning quite famously that Wentworth course to be much more like an American layout, but a bit fiddlier, a bit trickier as well. So Justin Rose may just not be a fan of the course. There may be another reason to which I am not privy to, but look, I mean, he's leading the Texas tournament, the Fort Worth Invitational, and you've got to say that thus far he's made the correct decision, because he could be picking up a tournament win over in the US.
I'll give you the correct answer now, Robbie. So the reason that Justin Rose is not playing flagship event on the European Tour is, if you're a PGA Tour, if you have a PGA Tour card, there's a quota of events that you must play every so many number of years. And so if you haven't played this particular event, I think it's every like 5 years of being on tour, you have to make one or two allowances into your schedule to play an event you haven't played for a number of years. And he's having to fulfill a quota to stay. So that's why he is one of, I think, only maybe a handful of players, because all the big American-based European stars pretty much show up for the flagship event at Wentworth. And this is the one exception. And you think Justin Rose is he's a sort of bloke that would make the effort to play and support his what the tour that support him for many years. So the reason is he's having to play this due to a PGA Tour regulation, sort of a byproduct of having to fulfill so many events on your tour. So, but as you say, he's doing well. They're 3 weeks away from that third major of the year at the US Open, Shinnecock Hills, and good time to find form.
Well, thank you for educating me, Arch, on all matters relating to golf, and I'll thank Google as well, which I saw you frantically tapping away on just a few minutes earlier. But let's quickly talk about the BMW PGA Championship. As Arch mentioned, maybe the flagship event, maybe not. Historically, it is. Keith Pelley would probably turn around and say it's now the DP World Tour Championship, as he mentioned in a few press conferences last year in Dubai. But Rory McIlroy bidding to warm up in his own good style for the US Open. He is 11 under par. He is leading that tournament by one stroke from Sebastian Gross. Lee Westwood in contention as well on 8 under par alongside Mikko Koronen and Sam Horsfield. McIlroy shot a 65 yesterday, which he said was his best round of the year. Alex Noren said, watching McIlroy strike a ball makes you want to give up golf. It was that good. It was absolutely pinpoint with his irons. And as we know, Rory, when he gets the driver going, he hits the ball very long and very straight. So if he can keep that going, and he's done most of his damage on the back nine at Wentworth this week thus far, maybe he can win that tournament and get over that disappointment of failing to fire in the final round of the Masters.
Lots to look forward to. Third round for the BMW underway at the moment. We'll keep an eye on the leaderboard for you. Third round, the Fort Worth, will get underway very shortly over in the States. Chris McCarty is alongside us as well. We've had a very irate listener get in touch with the show today, saying you've been banging on relentless about Real Madrid and Liverpool and Aston Villa and Fulham. And on a crucial weekend of playoff finals, we haven't mentioned Coventry yet as well. Why is that?
Coventry City in action. Are they? See, that just shows that I wasn't informed with Coventry City. Mark Robbins is the boss there now, isn't it? They've had a great season of Coventry. They're getting back into what would be League One. So it's Division... It's League Two qualifying. Is that today as well?
It's not. It's on Monday. But one man who is going to that game is sat very close to you at the moment. He's just joined us. He has been a great supporter of the show. Sam Charnley of It's Just Cricket is alongside us. Monday night, is it? Is that the big game?
Yeah, Monday night, yeah.
And you're off, are you?
I am. I'm going to the game.
You're heading over.
I am.
And it is Mark Robbins who's the boss, right?
He is, yeah. Oof. He's done a good job this year.
Saved myself.
So it's been a good season then?
Yeah, it has. Been ups and downs. I think they had a bit of a ropey time around Christmas, but since then they've cracked on and they've done really well.
Good. Who have you got in the final?
Excellent. There you go.
Doesn't matter, does it? It's a foregone conclusion. So
it is Exeter.
Exeter, yeah. In the final.
Exeter City.
And it would be big for the club, wouldn't it? Because Coventry, we've been talking about Coventry a little earlier, and Coventry have gone the wrong way down divisions. You don't need me to tell you that. So it'd be good to see them coming back up.
Yeah, it'd be great to see them go back up. They won the Checker Trade Trophy last year, and it was a good day out, so hopefully another good day out.
And what's being done differently at the moment that hasn't been in recent seasons?
They're playing good football. Mm. They've got some good side there, and they're playing really, really good football, to be fair.
It's great to have you with us here today. Why? Because we've got the test match in front of us there, 76 for 2, England at the moment. But also, Archie, lest we forget, there is a massive game of cricket tomorrow afternoon, the IPL final. Who's playing in it, Arch?
Well, we got there eventually, didn't we, after 60 matches and a bunch of elimination matches. But it's two of the big boys, really. Chennai Super Kings have been a very consistent team in the IPL over the decade and a bit that it's been existing, taking on the Sunrisers Hyderabad. Both two teams finished top of the IPL table, so it's fair to say they both deserve to be there. They both won 9 games in the league, so they're the best two teams taking place in the final in Mumbai Wankhede Stadium tomorrow. It'll be a sellout. You won't get a seat in the house, and there'll be a billion plus TV viewers viewed in watching their match. But some big names in both teams, of course, Tom, the likes of MS Dhoni. It's his 8th IPL final, so he's been there, he's done that, he's got the certificate, and he'll be looking to add another IPL title to his sort of trophy cabinet. Taking on the likes of, New Zealand captain Kane Williamson's done a wonderful job for Hyderabad this year. He's led from the front, his captaincy's been innovative, and I think he's the second top, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe the second top high run scorer in the IPL this season. So big names are there in the final. And it's going to be fascinating. It's so nip and tuck, these T20 matches. They're swung on small bits of momentum. We'll see what happens.
Let's get thoughts of Sam on this one, because you've been watching on with interest, obviously, this latest franchise delivering of the IPL. Rashid Khan, he's a player there's been a lot talked about him in recent season, things like that. He's done the business again in the IPL this year. I suppose his value just continues to go up.
Yeah, like all players, obviously the value goes up as wickets they take or runs they score, value goes up, and you can't blame him. He's done had a good season.
In terms of the IPL as a whole, for you personally as a cricket lover, but also as a cricket coach, and the impact it's having on the youngsters that are coming to nets with you down at Is Just Cricket, is it having that impact at the moment?
It is. There's a lot of games, as you know. There's a huge amount of games, and it's quite hard to keep up. But you know, the kids keep up more than us, and they really do. They watch every game. They know the stats. They know the scores. And so, yeah, it's keeping the interest, and the kids have come down with their shirts. We had two South African boys the other week. They came down to the session in Chennai Super Kings shirts. They've been over to watch a game. And yeah, so, yeah, they certainly are.
I suppose the other argument to that, sorry boys, is just we're looking at the test match at the moment. There's been a lot of chat over the last few days about some of the England boys that have underperformed, and no big surprise that it's the boys that have come back over from the IPL that the focus is on them. I suppose this is the challenge that cricket is facing at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, the schedules, it's just too much cricket for them, or they would argue that. So they need to sort of balance those schedules a little bit and make sure it works.
Just a fun fact for you. Chennai Super Kings have an average age of 33. They've been nicknamed Dad's Army. And what's depressing is that I know for a fact four of the six individuals sat around this table are over the age of 33. So that is quite depressing. As we say hello to a man who is christened the Peter Pan of football in the UAE. Dale Gordon is in the building.
Disco's arrived.
He just keeps
ready.
Getting younger and younger and younger.
Come on, Roberto!
But I'll ask Mark Archer this question, because we saw the meet in the first qualifier, the first eliminator, and it was Chennai who pulled out the fire. Looked like Hyderabad were actually going to make the final on the first effort, Arch, and Chennai came back at the death to snatch it. Who's got the momentum in that case, given that Sunrisers have hauled their way back into this final?
Momentum was tough. You know, but Chennai have won that key match in that first eliminator final to go straight through to the final. We talked about all these finals today, whether it be Champions League, whether it be the rugby. You just fancy the guys with the experience, the guys with the players who have been there, done that, and have been in big matches before. And it's hard to rule out the likes of MS Dhoni. They're a very well-coached side. Stephen Fleming, the ex-New Zealand captain, has been a coach at Chennai for a number of years. He keeps them centred. They have some real talent there, and he's the experienced guys that have been in the finals before. And then you've got, you know, the emergence of this Rashid Khan, 19-year-old Afghanistan cricketer, leg spin bowler, hard-hitting batsman. I just feel, even though Hyderabad have got the best bowling attack in the competition, that's been proven throughout the competition, I just think the big match temperament, the big game experience by Chennai Super Kings, sees the momentum with them, Robbie. They'll take that win they had over Hyderabad in the semi-final eliminator through to the final, and you just that fancy. It's tough to see past, for me, tough to see past Chennai.
You are listening to The Grill, broadcasting live from Brasti, where the game is always on. We've got, half an hour left on this one, of course. And we've got the small matter of a Champions League final to look forward to as well. Real Madrid against Liverpool, off at 10:45 this evening. Before that, all sorts of finals to look forward to. We'll be back with more from the team after this.
Unbelievable goal!
This is The Grill, in association with Brasti Superdome, bringing the football stadium to you this summer.
Yeah, game on indeed. Looking forward to the finals, the Festival of Finals coming your way just a little later on. Talking of the sport, let's just see the live sport very quickly for you. Chris McCarty's keeping an eye on Monaco at the moment. There's a Grand Prix down there.
There certainly is, yes I am. What I should tell you as well, Max Verstappen did not rule out in qualifying, so he will start at the back of the grid. The reason for that being he crashed in final practice. Did the Dutchman, the young man who's come in for a lot of criticism in recent weeks as well, has Max Verstappen failing to live up to the heights that we saw of last year. What we do know for the leaderboard thus far. Daniel Ricciardo, he has been the star turn over the course of the weekend. Fastest in 1, 2 and 3 practice. He's also fastest in qualifying. This is Q2. We've got Sebastian Vettel in the first Ferrari, second. Kimi Räikkönen in the second Ferrari, third. You go all the way down, though, to 11th to find the name of Lewis Hamilton. So Mercedes are struggling around the tight track, and it's looking like a weekend where Red Bull will make hay as they look to try and close the gap to Lewis Hamilton. Ferrari boys, well, you never know with them. If they can put together something quick over the course of the next 15 minutes or so, Sebastian Vettel or Kimi Räikkönen may well steal pole. But as things stand in Q2, it is Daniel Ricciardo out on top.
Archie's watching the cricket for us. What you got?
Yeah, a bit of a fight back here by England. 85 for 2 in their second innings. Captain Joe Root is leading from the front. He's 59 not out off 104 balls. He's just started to take it up a gear with his scoring. He was very slow at the start of his innings, but he looks in now. He looks settled. He looks to be finding some momentum. So much of this England innings will depend on the form and the innings of their captain, Joe Root. He's been joined at the crease by Dawid Malan, whose home ground, of course, plays at Middlesex, plays at Lords. 7 not out, though. But early wickets today for England. Cook, LBW, Mohammad Abbas for 1. Mark Stoneman, Bolchadib Khan for 9. Both openers dismissed. Poor start, but Pakistan still well in control. England 85 for 2. They only trail Pakistan now by 94 runs, but Pakistan still in the pole position here, to use that Formula 1 phrase.
Stormers against Lions later on this evening. That's 7:15 in Super Rugby. There is a game underway at the moment, Bulls against Brumbies. We'll get an update for you on that one in just a few moments' time. You're listening to Dubai Eye 103.8. Lots to look forward to. We arrive from Barasti, where we're gearing up for a festival of finals, which will culminate at 10:45 in one of the biggest, of course. It is time for the 2018 Champions League final.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the finalists of the UEFA Champions League.
UEFA's principal club knockout competition draws to a close this evening.
This is where and this is how it all began. The royal family of the European game. Zidane! Oh, fantastic! Fantastic! Mission impossible is accomplished! The European Cup is returning to England!
It must almost know its own way to Madrid.
Liverpool! Champions of Europe again!
The European Cup is going home.
Ronaldo! Absolutely incredible! Brilliant! 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 Mohamed Salah!
Sergio Ramos to the rescue for Real!
Steven Gerrard gives hope to all the many thousands of Liverpool fans!
Magnificent from Gareth Bale!
Oh, they've got it! Liverpool get another one!
And there has never been a Champions League final anything like this.
Everyone gearing up for it, getting ready for it. It's a 10:45 kickoff. We've been joined by a cast of thousands down here, sporting greats alongside us, all, I'm sure, with one eye on a whole host of finals a little later on, but also, of course, culminating in Real Madrid against Liverpool. So let's get the predictions of our guests. First and foremost, we've got Sam Charnley down here. He's from It's Just Cricket. Real Madrid, Liverpool, looking forward to this one?
Yeah, be a good game, hopefully.
Who do you think's gonna? Well, we've been talking a bit earlier about who's going to start as favourite, who's going to win out. Can Liverpool win this one or not?
Oh, I think it's tough for them to win that. No, I think Real Madrid have got it this one.
Prediction?
2-1.
2-1 for you, right? Chalk that one up, Arch, on the chalkboard of predictions for the evening. Apollo Perolini is also with us as well, turning his attention to the round ball as opposed to
Liverpool.
Liverpool, yeah.
Mate, I'm a Scouser. I'm a Scouser in heart. Look, I live literally 15 minutes away from Anfield. So I live in St. Helens.
Things I didn't know about Apollo Perolini.
And I'm a Reds fan right from the 80s. I'm the Dalgleish boy from back in the day. So I've always been a Red, but I got made to wear a blue Everton jersey by my cousin Tim Cahill when I was over there. So I only wore it for about a few seasons, and I went back to my Red. So tonight, it's all bleeding red tonight, and Liverpool 3-2.
Do you feel that it's the moment?
I'm feeling it. Look, they've done really well this year, and to get this far, and under Klopp, he's done a great job. And look, there's a great vibe back home, and I'm there on Tuesday. Oh, so wow. I'll be there to celebrate when they bring the cup home.
When the bus comes down,
I'm going to be in Anfield.
So you've got that to look forward to. So we've got one for each, Real Madrid and a Liverpool there. Robbie Greenfield, we haven't had your prediction as yet. Which way is this game going?
I'm going Real Madrid 3, Liverpool 1. That is my official prediction. I think Liverpool will score. I think Real Madrid will run away with it a little bit like they did against Juventus 12 months ago in the second half. They've got too many big match players, Tom. Too many players that have been there, done that at the highest level. These finals are decided by those individuals, the Sergio Ramoses, the Cristiano Ronaldos, the Toni Kroos's, the Luka Modric's. They are, man for man, a better side than Liverpool. The game, all these finals that we've seen, they're often won and lost in midfield. And you cannot tell me that Real Madrid do not have a superior midfield unit to Liverpool. Yes, Liverpool have dangerous men up front. Yes, Mo Salah has been sensational. But I just feel that Real Madrid will use that experience, their savviness on the greatest stage of all, and it will be quite simple for them in the end.
Chris McCarthy, it's not often that somebody like Cristiano Ronaldo is eclipsed on a pitch, but in the build-up to this one, there seems to have been more chat about Mo Salah.
Absolutely, and you can understand why. What an impact he's had in English football. What a season he's had for Liverpool Football Club. And as we said on, what was it, Thursday night show, we said that, you know, there's going to be a whole country. Egypt will be tuning in. The whole country will be behind Mo Salah. And whether they're Egyptian fans or Real Madrid fans, it's a win-win, because if your side loses, then your new prodigal son will go on and lift that European Cup. He'll put himself in a wonderful position. If Liverpool do go on to win it, if he was to have a big game this evening, scores the winner perhaps, or scores in that final, you'd make him favourite for the Ballon d'Or at the end of the year. Okay, we've got a FIFA World Cup coming up, and of course a lot can change, but I'm really looking forward to this one. I'm with the majority of the boys here. Both teams will undoubtedly score tonight. I just think attacking-wise, they've both got phenomenal forward lines. Defensively, there's question marks about both. I know it's a big if, and I'm reiterating what I've said all week long. If Liverpool perform, and I take Robbie's point, but then again, Liverpool finished 25 points behind Manchester City. They blew them away over two legs. If Jurgen Klopp can get his men to perform, where there's no, I guess, nerves, go out there and perform as you've performed all season long, which I think they can do, they'll frighten Real Madrid. They will scare, they will blow Real Madrid away. I don't think Real Madrid have been good. They haven't convinced me. Okay, they've beaten Juventus. Okay, they've got through Bayern Munich, PSG. They've not done so convincingly. If Liverpool play their game, that's the big if. That's what Jurgen Klopp's going to ensure this evening. If they do that, Real Madrid won't live with them.
Right, time to hear now from a man with possibly the best set of gnashers in international football, Jurgen Klopp. He's got a cracking set. He's got a cracking set of teeth. I don't know if they're all his.
Cost him a fortune,
did they?
Yeah.
Right, let's hear from Jurgen Klopp in the lead up to this one. He believes that they're there on merit.
For you, what's the most important strength of your group, of your team?
The spirit. 100% the spirit which we created during that season. 9 months ago when we started it, we were already a good football team. But meanwhile, the boys are ready for the big things. That's how it is, because a few of us dreamt of being in the final, but that it will happen, and it's possible that happened through the season, but only because of the performances we showed in different games, and that created a special spirit, and you saw that in all the games, the last few games, and now we are here. That's our biggest strength for sure.
At what point does the experience that Real Madrid have had, having been here twice before, how much difference can that make?
How can I know that? I've never been twice in a row in a Champions League final. So, as I said it before, experience is very important. And I'm pretty sure that in a second before the game, Real Madrid will be more confident than we are. But it's not a problem, because the game doesn't end in that second. It only starts. And we had now 2 weeks to prepare that game, and everything is clear when we made the analyze. Then you see Real Madrid playing in different games against other players, teams, and you think, wow, they are really strong. But they never played us. That's another part of the truth.
Got several around the table here. Diana Barasti would like to see Liverpool win. They might be their team. There are those that will be turning out to Barasti a little later on. One thing, and I know you're shaking your head there, Chris McCarthy, because it's tough for a Man United supporter, I know. But one thing we'd like to see is that Jurgen Klopp goal celebration down the line, wouldn't we? Because that's always good for football.
Yeah, a nice little... Well, I don't want to see that, but yes, in terms of football overall, then yes, Jurgen Klopp. And listen, putting my neutral hat on for a second, Liverpool winning this Champions League would be good for football. Because the way they've gone about it all year long, the style with which they adopt, it would be a breath of fresh air. what we should also be talking about, if Real Madrid win it, three in a row, Zinedine Zidane all of a sudden becomes a manager that the likes of which I've not seen in my lifetime. I grew up with Sir Alex Ferguson at Man United, but to win three Champions Leagues on the bounce is nothing short of incredible. It really is. And Zinedine Zidane then has been discussed as one of the greats of his generation when we're talking
which
management.
Which is bizarre, isn't it? Because they've had a sort of average season.
He was one tie away from losing his job. Yeah. If they'd lost to Paris Saint-Germain in the round of 16, given their domestic league form at the time, I think they were fifth in La Liga at that time, he would have been fired. And yet he had enough credit in the bank to weather the La Liga form, get past Paris Saint-Germain in style in the end. They won both of those games. And then, of course, they've just done enough against Juventus in the quarterfinals and against Bayern Munich. They've been two tight ties, but they've gotten through them. And it's the Midas touch, because not only do you have to beat these sides, we were talking about it on Thursday night, there's a lot of luck involved in the Champions League. So to win three in a row, you need to be lucky each year at certain junctures, and also you've got to beat the teams put in front of you, and they're the very best in Europe. So it is staggering what they're doing.
What nationality is the ref tonight?
Good question. I'll double check.
We'll find out. In the meantime, let's play out with the thoughts of Zinedine Zidane here. He'll take us up to a short break. We spoke about this a bit earlier on, didn't we? The fact that, you know, he is playing down his size chances at the moment. Just before we do that, let's go to Lords, because Mark Archer, there's been a development.
Oh, fantastic catch. It's the keeper has taken a left-handed diving catch off of Mohamed Amir. The wicket is Dawid Malan, the English batsman there. What a piece of bowling. He's edged it and he's made ground. He's just snaffled at Safez, I think the name is of the keeper there, and he's picked it off the ground. England will lose their third wicket. They're currently, I think, about 91 for 3. Caught Safez, bowled Amir for 12. He's faced 50 deliveries, Malan. England really teetering on the brink here. This match could be all over today. Joe Root is doing the job. He's 60 not out, but now comes the interesting time. You've got Bairstow, Stokes and Butler to come in. All three guys would like to play their shots, not really rear guard action guys who are going to bunker down for the 2.5 days required of this test match to save it for England. It will be an interesting session and a half left here. But England 91 for 3. They still trail Pakistan by 88. Joe Root 60 not out.
I think we can turn it over to the rugby now, can't we, Arch? Certainly from an England point of view, that's for sure. Let's go to hear from Zinedine Zidane. When we come back, we'll wrap up and lead in to our Festival of Finals a little later on.
Well, if you look at it that way, all I can say is that this is beautiful. But that's what I do. This is my passion. I've always been a good competitor. I like to compete. And behind all of that is a lot of hard work, not only on my part, but on the part of my players and players of the past. And that is what Real Madrid is all about. But I love to compete. And at the end of the day, if you like to compete and you're willing to work hard, you can actually achieve what we've achieved and what we're doing. And for me, this is entirely normal. We have to live our lives in a normal way.
This is The Grill, in association with Barasti Superdome, bringing the football stadium to you this summer.
Yeah, talking of that Superdome, it's open for business in about an hour's time or so. Big game's going to be showed down here at Barasti, so make sure you come on down here to watch our Festival of Finals. Right, let's go to the cricket very quickly. There's been another development. Mark Archer.
Yeah, Johnny Bairstow came in and faced one ball, then he's been clean bowled, second delivery. Mohamed Amir took his second wicket of the over, pitched outside off at the top of off stump. It's a great delivery to receive early in the innings, but Johnny Bairstow dismissed without scoring. Bowled Mohamed Amir and Joe Root. He's a lone beacon for England. 60 not out. The last two wickets, Milan has gone. Bairstow's gone for naught. New man at the crease is Ben Stokes. But England stuttering here badly. 91 for 4. They still trail Pakistan by 88 runs. This match could be over this afternoon, Tom.
At Monaco Grand Prix, qualification ongoing at the moment. Chris McCarty.
Indeed, Daniel Ricciardo just continues to push the envelope, so he does. The Australian is having a whale of a time, and he is still out in front. We are into Q3. Daniel Ricciardo, the fastest out there. He's just shaved off another tenth of a second off the new lap record over in Monte Carlo. Lewis Hamilton now up to second. I told you, when the chips are down, Lewis Hamilton always seems to provide a performance. He's currently second. Sebastian Vettel third. third. Kimi Räikkönen in the second. Ferrari, he's fourth. Valtteri Bottas down in fifth. Fernando Alonso is having a fine afternoon as well. He's in seventh in that McLaren. So we'll keep an eye on it. We're into the final stages, the final throws of qualifying over in Monte Carlo. This is the sixth race of the 2018 F1 season. As things stand, Daniel Ricciardo out on top.
Monaco Grand Prix, IPL final, England against the Barbarians, all live down here at Barasti tomorrow afternoon. Before that, though, settle in for your Festival of Finals. Gets underway in just a few moments' time. Exeter against Saracens. That'll be followed by the semi-final over in France, Racing against Castra, and then Leinster against Scarlets at 9 o'clock. Apollo Perolini's been with us for the last half an hour or so. He's looking forward to that Aviva Prem final. He's looking forward to Liverpool raising the Champions League trophy a little later on this afternoon as well. So are you going for the Exeter? Is it the Exeter Liverpool double for you today or not?
No, I'm
Sarri's Liverpool double.
I'm going to go the Sarri's and Liverpool.
Obviously coming into the summer months at the moment, all good for you though at the moment, AP, lots going on over the summer months?
Yeah, lots going on. I mean, I'm pretty busy just preparing my National Sevens team to go to Singapore, and then hopefully that we'll get a qualification to go to the Asia Olympics at the back end of August. So it's a big 3 months ahead, and then hopefully we can do well.
Looking forward to that, AP. Really appreciate that. I'm hoping to going to be good settling in and watching these finals with you. The man alongside you, Sam Charnley, is also looking forward to a long summer as well. Sam, things going well? It's just cricket. You got summer programs as well?
Yeah, we're going to do summer programs. So we finished our outdoor program today, and we go 6 weeks indoors now. Up at Four Mark School.
Okay.
So we've got about 70 odd kids involved in that, and sort of trying to minimise the time that they spend off during the summer.
And so if there's still places available for that if people want to get involved?
There is, yeah. We've still got a few spots left.
So just get yourself onto the website, social media. That's the best way to do that?
Yeah, it's just cricket.com. Best way to do it. And then drop me an email from there.
Well, all the best with that one. And all the best on Monday as well. So you're going for the... I'm not sure if there are many sort of companies out there that take doubles on Coventry and Real Madrid, but that's what you're going for, isn't it?
Well, that's what I'm going for.
Try and get it on at least, you know. I suppose it's going to go. No, all the best on Monday as well. Should be a good one down there with the Coventry boys. And as you said, Real Madrid for the cup tonight, yeah?
Yeah, cheers, Billy.
First time Coventry and Real Madrid have ever been uttered in the same sentence there, Tom. Congratulations to you.
It's the beginning of something
new. It's a
new,
radio you know, first.
It's going to be something new. Look, we're just moments away from the start of the Aviva Prem final. You're getting settled in as well, Robbie. Real Madrid, Liverpool.
Yeah, Real Madrid for me. I think I'm prepared for this to backfire and for Chris McCarthy to gloat about his prediction, because he's been saying Liverpool for a long time now. I've been nailing my colours to the Real Madrid mast. I think they're just going to have enough in the way of quality at the end of the day to get it done.
Appreciate your time this afternoon. Final words with R2 Original Palace. Mark Archer, has your opinion been swayed at all over the last 3 hours?
No, I'm still going Real Madrid. I think class will come through, and I think they'll be the guys lifting the cup for a third consecutive year at the end of the championship.
Why are they all wrong, Chris McCarthy, and who is the referee who's going to be making the big decisions?
Yeah, the referee's a Serbian by the name of, and I can't get the computer shut down on it, a guy by the name of Masic is going to be the man in the middle with a whistle on this evening. Why are they all wrong? Liverpool will win it. It's destiny, isn't it? We saw it in 99 with Manchester United. I've got a feeling we're going to see it tonight. If Liverpool come out and perform like they've performed, Liverpool will have a very, very good night indeed. Kick-off 10:45, can't wait.
Kick-off at 10:45. Looking forward to that one. Dale, Real Madrid or Liverpool? Real Madrid or Liverpool? Real Madrid. Liverpool 3-1. You heard it from Disco Dale over there. That's what's going on. Apollo and, of course, all happening there. Looks like it's happening in the cricket as well. We'll get more details on that one. If you're looking for somewhere to come and watch the football, get yourself down to Barasti. It is the Champions League final at 10:45, but a lot more to look forward to before then. Good night.
It's the dream final, Salah versus Ronaldo, Klopp versus Zidane, Liverpool versus Real Madrid. Bring it on.
And then on the follow-up, it's Salah! First blood to Liverpool! Salah! What a strike and what an equaliser! Oh, yes! He is on fire! It's another super goal for North Salah!
Goes towards the back post, Cristiano Ronaldo, there it is! He's done it again! Pitch perfect ball in, and Benzema equalises! 1-1, Real Madrid, Royal Madrid, are kings of Europe again!
It's
Asensio, and it's a second goal for Real Madrid. He can hit one. Oh, he can hit one. That is an absolute screamer. Goes for it again. Oh, Salah! Liverpool's Egyptian king with another crowning moment in the Champions League. And then Ronaldo. The greatest player in the history of Real Madrid. You cannot write this script. And he scores. And the defending champions live to fight another day.
This is The Grill, in association with Barasti Superdome, the only place to view football this summer.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.